call, please?
Bill Goggins. Laura Hine. John Kapler.
Here.
Kathleen McMonagall. Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here.
Not me.
Okay, so.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I called. Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Okay. All right, so we have a couple of essentially two meetings tonight. Our first meeting is a joint hearing with the planning director where we will be taking comment on public testimony on the fast track zoning code amendments. And after we get that public input, then we will adjourn that portion of our meeting, and then we will go to our regular council meeting, at which time we will be having a presentation on the community wildlife habitat, and then we will have community council member reports, work program review, and then we go to the discussion of the fast track zoning code amendments and a discussion of the shoreline master program, and finally action on the 2007-2008 city comp plan amendments, city initiated. That is our agenda. And so to begin this process, Eric has informed me that he's just going to sit and watch, and I'm going to conduct this public hearing. So anybody who wants to be speaking strictly on the fast-track zoning code amendments, not the shoreline or any of the other matters, but just the zoning code amendments, we want to have those people sign up and be prepared to come up and testify. And once we get through all of that, and we'll adjourn and then move into the second part of our meeting tonight. So, Nancy.
Yes. I'll start with the presentation of the proposal. My name is Nancy Cox, and this is a public hearing on fast-track code amendments. For the record, Exhibit A will be the city staff report that was mailed and on the city website. And Exhibit B is an email from B. Nahan that was received today, but it's dated March 22nd. There's a paper copy in front of each of you, and we've looked at that today. And I've also spoken with Ms. Nahan, and can, when we start talking about public notice a little bit later, we can go over her comments, because that's what they have to do.
Okay.
Rick, you want to acknowledge that these two are here?
Yeah, let it be noted that Laura Hine and Kathleen McMonagall have joined the meeting. Okay.
The proposal is to amend the zoning code with minor amendments to promote clarity, eliminate redundancy, and or correct inconsistencies in accordance with Chapter 161 of the zoning code. This proposal affects 22 chapters in the zoning code and one in the Kirkland the process that we've been working through is that a roster of the code amendments was distributed widely on January 15th. The City Council reviewed the roster on February 17th at a regular meeting and made some modifications to it. We're having the public hearing tonight with the Planning Director and yourselves. And the next step will be for the City Council to consider ordinances to enact the amendments as discussed this evening in April, and then Houghton will have final action in April or May on those that are impacted in Houghton. The majority of the amendments that are in the packet can most easily be reviewed by looking at the roster that's in Attachment 2 and the proposed code language that's in Attachment 3. And for the presentation tonight, we'll go through the roster, and you can let us know which items you want to talk about, or if you want to go through by exception, we can do that. The two items, electronic reader board amendments and the public notice sign changes, we will address after we talk about the majority of the amendments, since those affect several chapters. So what I did is the next several slides contain the roster broken down into, just in order, the different sections. if you would like to go through any of these or ask questions about them, we can do that slide by slide, or I could go through them one at a time, whatever is your preference.
Okay, in the interest of time, I'd rather, I don't think it's necessary to go through them one by one. Do you, what's your preference? Do you want to just have everybody ask on specific things or by exception, or how do you want to proceed? Any preference?
I think specific questions.
Okay, so if anybody's got a specific issue, then let's go with it. Okay.
Nancy, I have one right off the bat, the very first one. Eliminating the listing of zones shown on the zoning map. We are just going to use letters. Is it going to be a reference table someplace for lay people that don't understand what our letters mean?
No. There will be no change to the zoning map with this amendment. The only change is to something called the user guide, which is Chapter 1, Section 5 of the zoning code. And currently, that user guide merely contains a listing of all of the code sections, and every time we make an amendment to the code, we have to remember to add another one to that listing. We feel like that listing is a waste of space.
Okay,
so
I misunderstood.
It will not impact the zoning map itself or deal with abbreviations or something. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just to shorten the zoning code.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this slide? So this part of the roster addresses the RSX zones and the BC zones. I'll just keep going.
Straightforward. Keep going.
You tell me.
Yep.
BCX, LIT, and Chapter 95 changes.
No. Well, I say on the tree.
Okay.
I did want to ask something on that. Surprised that you're not, John.
Well, Nancy, I actually have all my comments back in the text, not on the outline page that you have.
Okay.
You're going to need to be coordinating as we're going through this, John.
It's going to take me a moment then, Nancy.
Let me ask you this, Nancy, on the qualified professional provisions for... says for recommendations for tree removals within critical areas must have tree risk assessor certification as established by the Pacific Northwest chapter of ISA or equivalent qualifications. Two questions on that. Critical areas, is that a defined term? And if so, it's not capitalized. But
okay, but that would be defined in Chapter 90.
Okay, so it's definitely...
Wetland, stream, yeah.
Okay.
Hazardous slopes.
I assume that, but I wanted to make sure. And then... this designation, how did we come up with this? Is this something that is a widely held designation by people who are arborists, or is it something that there's just a handful of people that do this? Or
you're on page 7, right?
I'm on page 7, yeah.
Recommended by our urban forester, Deb Powers. Her experience reviewing reports submitted to Kirkland staff, and she did research and found out in Seattle, at least in the city of Seattle, they require the same certification. And it will just, you know, up the qualifications a little bit of the people that are providing reports in those areas.
In critical areas.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a certification that somebody can just get from the state, or how is this person that's going to be qualified going to get their qualification?
The exact process, I'm not sure. I presume it is a license by the state with this particular organization.
Well, yeah, my guess is it's a professional society and a designation within them for this specialist. So
it was, right.
Yeah. That seems reasonable to me. John, any...
Yes, Nancy, and I do apologize, I didn't look, but in our definitions, do we make a distinction between a report and an assessment in the definitions? Because we've changed tree plan one major from assessment to report, and I want to make sure we have in the definitions that clarified very well. I didn't look, I'm sorry.
Right. That, I'll have to check on that. I am not certain, but the definition of, or the use of the term report would imply a more complete document than an assessment. An assessment, the urban forester told me, sometimes she gets these just sort of checklist format assessments that are not thorough enough, and therefore she wanted to use the term report to indicate that we need a more thorough document.
I understand. I want to make sure that it's clear in the code, mm-hmm. so someone can't say, but the person I hired said it was a report, and your urban forester says it's not a report.
Okay.
And. So I think that's what I had on the tree issue. And then the last item that I had, it's on our page 8, at the top of the page, 95.35.3.C. In the very first paragraph, the second to the last sentence says the applicant, now this is based on a hearing examiner decision, it says the applicant shall have the burden of proof that that planning official has made an incorrect decision. And I'm wondering if that's really the right language that we want.
Well, John, in the interest of time, that's, you know, we can't change. All we're doing is reacting to proposed.
Well, but is that
the only modification in that paragraph is the postmark date is being stricken.
Yeah.
So we it's not for us to be debating
okay.
whether there's other portions of it that we have any.
That's
keep
true.
Moving.
And that's all I had in 95.
Okay. Any other questions on this slide? Signs and miscellaneous. Chapter 117, 162, and 175.
Can we back up again for a second to 115.7 accessory dwelling units? We are not going to allow any grandfathered in properties. People that maybe had an apartment that was built before our zoning code was modernized.
I thought we already had.
It's no longer applicable, is what if you read the.
Yeah, well, I read all the stuff that was crossed out, and
We would already know about the grandfathered ADUs, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it changes that. The grandfathered,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it changes whether it's grandfathered.
Wasn't there a 2-year period to register them already?
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't change it.
Yeah, so they should already be registered and handled.
But let's say somebody bought a house and it hadn't been registered and there is one of those in that house.
It should be registered.
And they could come forward and register mm-hmm. it even now?
Sure, they would have to meet the code requirements for the ADU, but yes, they could go through the process. But it wouldn't be grandfathered as when the code was first written, there was sort of a grace period where units were allowed while people got used to it.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Questions on this slide? Okay.
So the now we can talk about the electronic reader board amendment and the public notice amendments.
You're on which number? 20.
So the electronic reader board amendments are on several, in several chapters. An example would be to look in the RSX chapter, I think, add some. Lake Washington and Juanita High Schools are in the RSX zones, which are not in Juanita, or not in Houghton, excuse me. And so these amendments affect those two high schools, three fire stations, of which one is in Houghton. Made a note that all of the sites are on collector or arterial streets and none are on local access streets. And the approach is to propose very specific targeted standards for the applicable use zone charts for those, for the zones in which those buildings are located.
So, John, page 18 has pretty good definition. 18.
Yeah, thank you.
This is what I was worried about, but I liked the restrictions and the language. Or because I was worried, because the one on I-5 down between Tacoma and Federal Way, very distracting.
Yeah. Right. This, these are highly regulated.
Yeah, school dance tonight. I like that.
Darn. Yeah. So.
The regulations on casinos as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So there are 8 standards that are proposed, and they're the same whether it's high school or fire station, except for the red item G, that for the fire stations, the reader board might be left on overnight if there is a disaster and, you know, things are in a really critical state. It might be important to have the reader board on at all times. That is the purpose for the fire department, is to allow for getting information out. They intend to use a special type of generator, so if the power is impacted, it could still work, and it will, you know, talk about shelters or where you can get food and that kind of thing. So we can go through these standards unless you have any questions. I have a slide that shows what plate 12 is. It's kind of critical to this. So these signs would meet the requirements of a pedestal sign. And this is a plate that's currently in the zoning code for pedestal signs. And you can see that pedestal signs are less than or equal to 5 feet tall above the average ground elevation. And there's a relationship between the size of the sign base and the width of the sign face and the height of the sign and the height of the sign base. So there's, you know, those dimensions that give these signs a look that they're rooted to the ground and they're in proportion. So specifically with this proposal, the electronic reader board portion would be no more than 50% of the sign area, and we're suggesting a 40 square feet of sign area per sign face. So that would mean 40 square feet on both sides would be the sign face maximum. 20 square feet maximum would be the electronic reader board. Moving graphics and text or video are not part of the sign. The signs shall not change displays or images at a rate less than 1 every 7 seconds. So the words would flash up, stay for at least 7 seconds, could be longer, and then change again. It won't be a continuous loop of words. And that the images shall be readily legible given the text size and the speed limit of the right-of-way. So there is a relationship between the size of the text and the speed limit and how long the text would be on the reader board.
Nancy, what type of images do you think are going to be on these boards, or need to be, or should be on these boards?
Well, it could be block letters, I suppose, or they could have a graphic of a fire truck, or is that what you mean?
Yeah, I guess I'm not quite sure why we need images.
Images?
Yeah.
Toga party. High school toga party.
Okay.
I'm just asking the question.
I sort of don't love this because
images speak more than words. You need less of them.
But you know, it's like once that door gets open, then you know, then there'll be all this little clip art and stuff up there. I guess I see it as potential of being some visual pollution going on.
I understand what you're saying, and you know that would be up to you. I would say that if the graphics, no matter what they are only changing every 7 seconds, it would not be an animated image, of course.
I guess if it's, I don't know, I guess I just don't understand it.
It definitely opens it up for abuse.
Yeah, it definitely opens it up for stuff that, you know, it will be distracting, I think, to drivers, you know, and it does concern me when you have one of these in a school zone where you have a lot of student drivers driving, and so I just don't want them to distract people too much from watching for pedestrians and other cars. And
why would there be any need to have anything other than just letters up there that say,
Tolo party, 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
game at
7 a.m. or 7 p.m. or.
I guess, you know, thinking about maybe, I'm not sure about the schools. Maybe the principals could address that for the schools. For the fire stations, what they might have, they might want a picture of a Red Cross sign, or, you know.
They don't need a picture of
food here, or I don't know.
It's like you can, I mean, but that's not, to me, that's not an image. That's a, I don't
know. Well, technically it is.
Oh, yeah. Technically it is, but I mean, that could be a permanent part. I mean, if it's a Red Cross station where you always get Red Cross at the fire station, right? Don't you worry?
Okay. I can't think of a good example, I guess.
But I just can't, I mean, I guess I feel like people are going to feel like they need to put an image there, and so they'll be like, you know, like, there's on this picture in here, there's like flames or something behind the fire station words, and I can see the little fire truck, or I can see stuff, you know, balloons and confetti, and to me it's visual pollution.
I'm going to come back to your comment in just a second, kind of the long way around the house. I can't find anything in here that tells about the size of the pixels in the screen itself. Are they light bulbs of a certain size? Whereas technology allows it, could we get down to the digital quality of a computer screen? Because that in itself will make a huge difference on the kind of symbols and graphics one could display.
The only place that the code really addresses that is to say that the text size should be legible given the adjacent speed limit.
Yeah, I think the more and more pixelated these can be, or the finer the detail of the pixels, the more possibility there for crazy graphics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crazy not being the right word. I would be concerned about that too.
The images or the pixel size?
Yeah, the images.
Okay, the images. Okay.
Because I don't know that we could regulate the pixel size, because as technology changes, the code should be set to allow for that change without having to look at the code every single time technology changes.
Right. Well, that's true. And I think that if the purpose is to communicate some information, they're going to want it legible.
Yeah.
That will make the text big enough to be so that you can read it.
Now, I guess on the other hand, one exception for that is if during football season they could display one team's logo and another team's logo, so-and-so versus so-and-so. You know, you could have a kangaroo symbol versus one of the other.
Whatever. Let's before we, you know, we're not going to, we haven't even had any testimony yet from, we've got people here that probably can shed some light on this issue. So rather than try to finalize it right now, we mark this as something that we need to come back to, and then let's keep moving. It's potential.
Okay. Issues. The standard E is the copy is monochrome, amber, or red. Standard F has to do with the intensity of the display, not producing glare that might extend onto adjacent properties. And also it discusses adjusting for the ambient light, because at night or during hours of darkness, there should be an automatic sensor to dim the display. There's the time frame, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. when it needs to be turned off, and the location to have the least impact on surrounding properties. Then the final statement is just a sort of catch-all. If there is a problem, or if there is a traffic hazard for any reason, that the planning director may impose additional conditions.
Yep. Question. Nancy, it just occurred to me, looking at that number of square feet in the sign area and trying to reconcile that with the height of the sign and the fact that it's only going to take up 50% of the area. Have you done the math on that? I mean, is that...
Mm-hmm. It's basically it could be 9 to 10 feet long. And then the height of the copy is about 3.5 to 4 feet, the sign face.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Because the two examples that we have on our page 51 and 52 are about 30% of the sign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other?
It's about half, isn't it? Because that pedestal doesn't count as the sign face.
It's part of the proportions. If you go back to slide or figure 21,
mm-hmm. It's not the sign.
Or
it's not the sign face.
Sign face. This would be the area that would be 40 square feet.
Okay.
So the pedestal is separate.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions on the sign conditions?
Well, do they have to be on all the time? I mean, I guess I'm feeling like once they get them, we've got this one example. Please keep your chimney clean. I mean, seriously, do I have to look at that every day? I don't.
Different one every 7 seconds.
I guess it just seems like, why do we need this? I can see it for emergencies. I can see it for the high school.
Okay. Moving on to public notice.
Yeah.
Okay. The first of all, the purpose of the public notice changes as a result of budget discussions here at the city. We were looking for ways to streamline our public notice process, but still to provide at least as good public notice as we have now. And what we have proposed is to define the word distribute, which can mean increased use of email and increased use of links to official city websites. We're proposing to publish summaries in the official newspaper of the city, which is currently the Seattle Times. And we're proposing changes to the 4x4 public notice signs, such that there would be no more public notices stapled onto the signs, that we would have painted on the signs a shorthand description of the proposal, which is already on the signs, actually, like 3-lot short plat or 5-story mixed use building. And then there would be information about www, Kirkland permits, ZON 09 dash something.
So you're supposed to write that on your hand?
Yeah. Or you could make note of it. And then look that up when you get home, or you could call on the phone. So those are the proposal to make the changes to public notice. So currently, the public notice signs are posted 3 or 4 times each, with the notice of application, the notice of hearing, the notice of decision, then if there's an appeal. So that requires staff to go out to the sign at least 3 or 4 times and post those notices. And we believe that having the link or the phone number available, we can more readily provide information to people about the project than having the paper notices. The paper notices require people to stop and pick them up, and sometimes they're wet. I don't know. it can get messy. So,
Nancy,
mm-hmm.
What does the summary notice consist of? A summary notice, which is mentioned.
Okay. Yeah, we use that term quite a few times, and we already are using summary notices. For example, when we send out postcards instead of full notices to tell property owners about projects, and I think we're doing that primarily with long-range projects now. We're using postcards to provide information about the project. It says the proposal, where it's located, who the applicant is, and then depending on which type of notice it is, it would say, this is a notice of application, you can provide your comments until date X. It gives you a lot of information. It might not start listing all the code sections and so forth, but that would be available in another way, and you would know how to find it or who to call.
So if a person is taking a walk and they see this sign,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have a pencil or paper on them,
okay.
and they want to know more about this,
mm-hmm.
they're very interested in it.
They could call City Hall.
So they have to go get the phone book and call City Hall, mm-hmm. and say, I saw a reader board on 108th and 60th,
mm-hmm.
and tell me about it, and I'll sit here on the phone while you describe everything to me, and how do I know? I mean, it just seems like asking the people mm-hmm. to do an awful lot of... I see it's the city's business to give us this information, and I'm very concerned about those paper notices being gone. Now, I can agree with not maybe having to do every single time there's an update, you know, like, but when the thing is first noticed and there's going to be a change in their neighborhood, this is a zoning change.
Mm-hmm.
This is a development that's going to change something. And to put the onus on them to have to go home and find that zoning permit and, you know, you have to find the maps, you have to understand this. It just seems like
so again, are we now discussing as opposed to getting information and then getting
mm-hmm.
yep. So, but we're expressing a lot of opinions here.
Yep.
Thank you. Good point, Kathleen. Sorry. I guess I don't quite understand how this promotes clarity, eliminates redundancy, or corrects inconsistencies. I guess to me this has no part in fast track mm-hmm. zoning. To me, this is a big change. I think it is controversial, and I don't see why it's here, because I think this doesn't do any of those things that this is supposed to.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, let's move on.
That's it.
Okay.
Oh, Nancy, I do have one more question. Is all of this in lieu of doing away with mailing anything to people?
Not really. There, of course, when a notice of application is created for a new project, we mail that with postal mail to property owners within 300 feet. And we will always have, at least in the near term, have to use postal mail for that because we could not use email. There would be no way to know those email addresses. When we would use email is once we have have parties of record that have signed in and given us their email addresses, and they are people that are following the project, then we can start using email notification for, here's a staff report, you know, the hearing is coming up, here's the notice of decision. So initially, we'll use postal mail, and then provided people have email, we can use that to notify them in the future. If they don't have email, then we will continue to mail to them. So it will be dependent on the individual.
Let me ask one quick question on the summary notices. What is the protection to the public that the summary accurately depicts the project? That, you know, it wouldn't,
well,
they might not realize the significance of the project by
so
the summary.
In other words, they're looking in the Seattle Times and the legal notices. It could say there is a zoning permit for a design review project for a mixed-use building at such and such address. Please see this file, and it would give them the file number for further information, okay, where they could get tons of information if they open that up. So,
okay. Let's go on to public testimony then.
Okay.
Okay. So as a reminder, we at this point are only taking public testimony on these fast-track zoning code amendments that we've just been discussing. There'll be opportunity later for other public comments, and you should have signed up on the roster to speak, and when you come up, please identify yourself, give us your address, and then try to keep your comments within 3 minutes or so if possible. So who wants to start?
Good evening, I'm Gary Moed, M-O-E-D, and I actually live at Juanita High School. I'm completing a third of 3 wonderful years at Juanita and have really appreciated working in this community. I also want to thank all of you for providing the opportunity for us to speak to you about the proposed code amendment that we all just heard about, why we wish to advocate for the proposed change, and why we think it would be a good thing for our community. And I'll try to cover that in the next minute or two. We also wish to publicly thank Nancy Cox, the development review manager, for her visit to our schools and her insights in the best way to approach this project and how to adjust our original expectations as well. As everybody knows, a school is a community within itself, but it also exists within a larger community of parents, relatives of students, neighborhoods, feeder schools, a city, a county, a state. And a critical aspect of any community, whether it's a family one and a small one or a large one like a school, is the ability to communicate, be it news of events, be it information, be it recognition, be it of anything of value to those whom we serve and those who we partner with. An electronic reader board would allow us to take our communication and our community to the next level. We're in an information age, and it's so important to communicate. There's so many aspects and thousands of things that happen within a week in a school or given a month or within a month. And there is information that's valuable to people in our community and to everybody within our community, and we would want to be able to share relevant and important information. And I think we found a way by working with Nancy to make sure we can communicate with a reader board format and within a reader board format that honors community standards and wishes regarding the recent interchange that's been about images and graphics, what I would mention is that what we're really interested in is information, not emotion. It's information that we need to share with those who have a stake in the school. And it's amazing how many families who, you know, schools are such central and critical parts of communities and of neighborhoods that even if somebody's kids have gone, or if it's just a neighborhood school, people feel a kinship and a special relationship with that school. And so the way I understand it, it would be terrific during soccer season to have an image of a soccer ball, or during football season to have an image of a football. As I understand the proposed code amendment, the code amendment takes away the possibility that any images would be moving or that any letters would even be scrolling. As I understand it, any piece of text would have to stay there for at least 7 seconds, and it wouldn't move left, right, up, down, same with images. But if I would, it would still be terrific to have an electronic reader board just with text, according to the guidelines that we've seen, without images. The purpose of our schools would still be served, and the idea of communicating information would still be there. So I think it would be terrific to have a soccer ball that stays there during soccer season. I assure you the soccer ball wouldn't get kicked, it wouldn't be moved up or down, because that would be against the words that we saw. But if we didn't have it, it would be fine just to have the text and convey the information. Because that's, I think, what our community needs, and that's the relationship we want to build and honor and continue, I would say. So on behalf of Juanita High School, we would very much value and appreciate your support of the code amendment. Again, I want to thank Nancy and everybody who's been involved. You know, I think we learn in anything we do that nothing is simple. And there's good reasons behind everybody's ideas and thinking. And we hope that we've honored the thinking that we've heard and the concerns from the city within which we operate. And I thank you very much for listening and for your time.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I will also comment that as you're speaking to us, if you want, I think there's general support for this, but this, if you'd like to specifically address the image versus text question, that seems to be, you know, something that we're particularly interested in, if anybody would like to address that.
Okay.
Or if there's any neighbors who are in opposition to it, we certainly want to hear from that, too. So, go ahead.
Good evening. My name is Ashley Haslinger. I'm Activities Coordinator at Juanita High School, so that is also my home. The electronic reader board is, I think, very important for the connection between the school and the community. I think it's not only does it share the information about the school events, it invites the community to be a part of our events. We are extremely limited right now in what we can share with our community members. We have 3 lines. They break frequently. Letters fall down. Letters get trapped. We have replaced parts of the reader board every probably 5 to 10 years. And we can usually only acknowledge 2 or 3 events that are going on. And we have at least, I believe, 30 different clubs without including our sports. We don't acknowledge any sporting events right now at all. Maybe the homecoming football game, but that's about it. None of the sports. And I know that community members really like to attend those kinds of things. As a former choral director at Juanita High School, I know that community members really love to come to our music concerts. But sometimes a concert may not get posted because something else took up all the space on the reader board. And it's sort of a first-come, first-served basis, so not everybody is getting equal recognition or participation. Speaking of recognition, I also think it's a great way to share with the community the great things that our students are doing. Just this past January, our bowling team, we sent 2 males and our female team to state. That's fantastic, and I know that there are bowlers in our community who might want to get involved and volunteer maybe an hour a week during November to January or something like that. It's a great way to create relationships. Anything else? I personally take all of the reader board requests as activities coordinator, and I turn people down all the time. Community members have asked for things to post just because it's a local event. And I just say, I'm so sorry, I don't have enough room. And immediate school events take priority, so I can't. Even our own Lake Washington Schools Foundation, I could not accommodate because we had some other events going on at school. And that's pretty much all I have to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Quick question for you. So do you approve the language of all of the messages that are on the reader board, personally?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there something that has been controversial in the past?
Not at all. No, I'm just...
No, I personally, my rule is that there are no personal messages. The only time I did allow it was a wedding proposal, and it was up for about maybe 5 hours, but it had to come back down. But I try to keep things professional and communicative as opposed to personal.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think, can I ask something? I think that does beg a question, though. I mean... what does get to go on these, and at what, I mean, who decides, and when does, if community is all of a sudden getting invited, then
sure,
does community get to post things?
This was an unusual, this specific proposal was an unusual event. It was a Juanita graduate whose mother still is employed at the school with an electronic reader board, because many messages will be flowing over time. I'm not sure that it would actually work. Because with our current reader board, it just stayed up there,
yeah.
So they were able to time it.
Well, not necessarily proposals, but
sure.
Let's say if a neighborhood club was having a meeting, would they want to come to you and use your reader board to announce that their club is having a meeting Tuesday at?
Sure, I imagine they might. If their meeting was at our school, I can see how that would work. I know that the Kinko region hosts things at our field house. Many things are held in our field house, and we try to communicate with our community. Not only that this is where the event is, but so that our community members know why there are a bunch of people there on Saturday or something like that. As far as the personal messages go, we have not really said yes to anything that's not happening on our campus or related to Lake Washington School District.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Anyone else?
Hello, Jonathan McGordy. I'm the public relations officer at Juanita High School, and I'm actually the one who's in charge of updating the reader board on a weekly basis or however long. And as a student at Juanita, as well as the public relations officer, something that a lot of fellow students come up to me and say is, why wasn't this announced? Why didn't we hear about this? Why wasn't this on the reader board? I have to say, you know, it's because we have other events going on. And they're like, but isn't this just as important? I have to say, like my teacher said, you know, we have to pick and choose what we can put on there, and it really does impact the students. For example, we have a play coming up that so many students had no idea, and community members had no idea about, and we have a fantastic drama department, but so many people just have not gotten word about it because we had to choose earlier on because of the first-come, first-served basis, what would be on there, and it had to do with another aspect of our school. And, for example, actually last week we had our Tolo dance and our Booster Club auction, and we tried to work both of them on there, but all we were able to say is Tolo Saturday and Booster Club auction March 21st. So we really weren't able to give the community notice of where our Booster Club auction would be or where, when and what time the Tolo was at, what was going on with that. And so the electronic reader board is really a must for our school. Thank you.
Joshua, how often do you currently update your board? Is it Jonathan? Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Jonathan.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. It varies. Like, generally, because it is actually a lot of work to put it up, like, so I have to go take a pole and kind of hit it. And so I try and do it not a whole... I try and avoid having to do it as, like... Or I do it... probably on average about a week, but because of how often and difficult it is to go out there because of the time constraints of having, because the letters are very difficult to put on there as it is right now. And so with the electronic reader board, it would also give some extra time for more notices to go up there as well. Is that kind of answer? So about
once a week, twice a week?
Yeah, like about once a week on average.
Right now. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of took one more.
Okay. Any other? Also, I want to call attention. Please turn off your cell phones. And if you need to have a conversation, please leave the room if you have a cell phone. Go ahead.
My name is Bria Lund, and I'm a student at Lake Washington High School. Do you need my address?
Yes, please.
10423 113th Place Northeast, Kirkland, Washington, 98033.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, as a student, I personally, with one of my fellow peers, take care of putting the letters up on the reader board. And unlike Juanita, we update it about 4 times a week because our dates are so frequent with what we're putting on, whether it's a sport assembly or if it's an actual sporting event. And the methods of putting them up are, we have a 10-foot rickety old ladder that, not sure how old it is, but it's rickety. And we take about 35 minutes of class time, first period, which is our leadership class, to put up letters on the reader board. And someone will go up and he'll put up the letters, and I'll be the spotter, so I'll make sure that the ladder looks safe, and I'll put my foot on the ladder to make sure it's not going anywhere, because the reader board is fairly high, and unfortunately we don't have a pole to put any of the letters up, and it's a really old reader board. I'm not sure quite how old it is, but the letters often fall off, and so the words are often jumbled, and I think it's like a risk to have so many letters out there that are able to have some person come up and change them. So for another high school student to say, oh, I can make something funny out of this, to go up and rearrange the letters, I think it's worse to see that than, you know, clean your chimney, I would suppose, in my opinion. Go ahead. In my opinion, just because I think it can be really disrespectful if someone does change something. And I know that vandalism is a really big problem. But I also think that the fact having an electronic reader board would also make it so the students who have to put up lettering on the reader board don't have to spend so much time out of class time in order to change it, because we don't have a club after school that can do that with so many students having sports or homework. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hi there. I'm Morris Lynette. I'm the student body president at Juanita High School. And I think the most important thing with getting a new reader board...
Just for the record, I need your address.
8004 Northeast 126th Place, Kirkland, Washington, 98034.
Thank you.
The most important thing with getting a reader board is also just having our campus look better. You drive by, say, Inglemore High School, if you guys ever driven by Cedar Crest or something like that. You drive by, it just looks nicer. It makes the whole entire campus feel more connected with the community. You drive by it, you go, okay, that's a well-off school in the area. It also, I mean, we spend hundreds of dollars every year beautifying the front of the school by repainting stuff, replanting stuff. And so I think it would be really great to just have a new reader board in there and just make the whole school look good. Also, it's an great way to connect with the community a lot better. For example, as Jonathan said, there's nothing like going out there in the snow or rain with a 10-foot pole and shivering during class to do it. And it's really, if we have the money and if we have the resources for it, we might as well do it. It makes the school look better. It makes everything else smoother. It makes we connect with the community better. I just think it would just be great for you guys to help us out with that. Okay. And thank you for my time. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on that? Particularly if there's anybody who's in opposition, or if there's anybody who has an issue on the images versus letters.
Yes. Georgine Foster, 4517 102nd Lane Northeast. I wasn't even going to speak this evening, but this is kind of, if there are going to be some kind of restrictions that the reader boards be used strictly for school and community activities, and that, like in these tough economic times, that the reader board space doesn't get sold to Microsoft, to Costco, to somebody who can do advertising that's not related to a community activity. That's my only...
No commercial activity.
Right.
Yes.
I'm Gerald Brown, a junior officer at Lake Washington High School. Address 451 4th Avenue South, apartment 102, Kirkland, Washington, 98033. For the last 2 years, I have been one of the individuals putting messages on the reader board for Lake Washington. And as Bria has commented, we use a 10-foot ladder on rather unstable ground. And recently, we've had to do it in rather bad climate conditions, rain and even snow. And this electronic reader board would provide a lot of relief from the dangers of being up there. And just in case a situation were to come on in the future where a student or no student is present or willing who is not afraid of heights, this would allow us to still get messages out. Involving the issue of characters or images, recently Lake Washington High School has visitors from our sister school, Toyo High School of Japan. The message we have up there welcoming them was not easily discernible to them, so the use of characters on electronic reader board would allow them to understand. Images used for such as sporting events, footballs, logos from schools would most likely remain stationary. I see no need for the movement of them, but we at least appreciate the use of a basic just box letter reader board, electronic. Any questions involving images or letters, characters? I can do my best to answer.
Anybody have a question?
When you put up for, what did you say, Japanese?
Yes, we have Japanese students.
Did you use their language up there? Or?
We have no Japanese characters. We just had to put up Welcome Toyo High School.
Oh, you just put, well, I don't
know. With the current reader board, but I think your suggestion is with electronic, you may have the capability to implement the Japanese characters.
Okay. Sound all right to me.
Good point. Thank you, Gerald.
Thank you.
Wouldn't be able to read it anyway.
My name is Leanne Fike, 11303, 116th Place Northeast, Kirkland, Washington, 98033. I am co-activities director at Lake Washington High School, and I know there's been some concern this evening about the text and images and what would go on there. As part of the leadership class with Bria and Gerald, who put the information up, they come to me or the other co-activities director or Mr. Malloy before anything goes out onto our reader board. So it isn't one of those things where they just arbitrarily decide whatever they would like to put on there. I'm thinking in the future also, if we talk about college ready, future ready, as Dr. Chip Kimball likes to tell all of us, that it's also information at our fingertips. And I cannot think of a better way for students to be involved and in charge of constantly knowing what's going on around their school. And by doing this, it does add give them more responsibility and to think about the things that we could put on that reader board. Text and images, I would have to be doing some research because, like anything, how much does it cost for more of the capabilities of the software program? And so I know that we would have to be looking into that, and probably with the budget and everything, we'll be happy to have letters on the screen. So this is a great opportunity for our students in the community to have information at their fingertips that they could put in there. Plus, they would also have to check the spelling. We definitely would make sure that was checked before it goes out. So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Ultimate authority, huh?
No. Good evening. Thank you for taking the time and allowing all of us from Juanita and Lake Washington to speak with you this evening. My name is Brad Malloy, and I'm the principal of Lake Washington High School. Though my wife will say I live at Lake Washington High School, I actually am a Kirkland resident. My address is 10020 131st Place Northeast, Kirkland, zip code 98033. And I would also like to say that when I saw the amendment regarding the images, I had already picked out my high school graduation picture, so I was all set to go for day one when we got that electronic reader board up there. But I do understand your concerns, and we have a responsibility, I think, to our community to not only represent our community in a quality manner, but to also communicate in a quality manner. And You can tell by our young kids that we have here today that we take communication very seriously. We value and we understand the importance of parents and community members understanding what's going on at Lake Washington High School. We want to present the best foot forward that we can for visitors to the area, new potential homeowners, and our community and parents about what good things and great things we're doing at Lake Washington High School. And I think our school represents our community. I believe our community is asking and wants to know what's going on in their schools. They pay taxes for what's happening at Lake Washington High School. You know, there's not many things that rebels and kangaroos join on as we are great traditional rivals, but this electronic reader board is one of them, and it would be a great addition to both of our schools in communicating with parents and community. And I'd also like to thank Ms. Cox for her help in working on this amendment and helping us get something positive for both of our schools and community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak on this?
My name is Gloria Heyer. I'm associate principal at Juanita High School. And I just have one more thing to add. We live in an area that's known internationally for our advances in technology. And I believe that a tasteful, well-designed electronic reader board with some restrictions on outside advertising could present our two high schools in a way that will enhance its vision in the community. If images are the deal breaker, then we can do without those images. What we're really interested in, text as a way to communicate with our community. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any? Oh. It's a race. I'll be very brief. My name is Lee Amisager, 14311 130th Place Northeast, Kirkland, 98034. I am a PTA president at Juanita High School. And the thrust that we have been doing at Juanita is communication. And we have a high diverse school. And so a lot of the information on a reader board might be able to be translated. And if we're going to outreach to a high number of people who don't speak English to the parents, I thought it would be a unique way to at least let a lot of our community be informed of things that are going on at the school if they don't read English or if their children grunt like mine, don't tell me what I want to know, they don't answer my questions. So it's just another thing. And the image thing, again, if it's a deal breaker, no, but it's nice. People remember images more than they remember a bunch of words. But if you have them together, it might be something that they will remember. And if it's very tastefully done and it's small, like the Earth Core logo with when it's meeting and things like that. So, but otherwise, it's not important. Thank you so much for letting us speak tonight.
Anyone else?
My name is Adrienne Schultz, 8003 Northeast 128th Street, Kirkland, 98034. I don't have a student at Juanita or Lake Washington. I am speaking as a parent from the community. I will have a child at Juanita High School in 3 years. I have a seventh grader currently. It is important for us to know what activities are going on at the high school that she can go to and kind of get an idea and feel early on of what kind of things she's going to look forward to when she gets there. There are a lot of junior high programs that actually use the field house, basketball programs, swim programs using the pool. So there's a lot of wide variety. I mean, not just the Juanita and Lake Washington High School students, but the students that are coming from those feeder schools. So it's a great communication tool to outreach to the other schools.
Thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else? Thank you all very much for your participation. And at this point, we will close the hearing and adjourn this portion of our meeting. Anybody need a break? It's only been an hour.
Are we not going to deliberate?
We will, but that... Oh.